Yeah, talking about eufy.com. The Eufy video lock is unbelievable. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Best Buy stores starting on May 20th. What is it? It's a smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell, 3-in-1, triple security, so you can have everything you need in one device rather than install many pieces on your front door. It's not just for security, but also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys like my wife. You can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. It's easy to install and set up with just a Phillips head screwdriver, no drilling required. It's got a keyless entry. No more fumbling for the keys. When hands are full, never worry about kids losing keys or passing among the renters of your house. You got a rental property out there, this is a must-have. I love this product. Just got it a couple weeks ago. Huge fan. Have the Ring camera. It's okay. It's not as great as this, so I swapped it out. Go to Eufy Video Lock today on YouTube. That's EUFY Video Lock, or visit EUFYOfficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your front door.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Stop shuffling through life like a zombie. You're bumming everybody out. Grab a CardoMax Energy Intensifier and wake up. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Matson, CardoMax's Energy Intensifier will help you power through your workouts and dead afternoons with vitamins B3, B6, B12, caffeine, and BCAAs. Use the promo code DB to get 30% off your next four orders at CardoMax.com. That's CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max. Yeah! Welcome to Drinking Bros, kids! We got an old friend on the show today, D'Anthony. A good old friend. I'm talking, man, maybe 300-400 episodes deep. We've done the show with him a few times. He's back. Mr. Graham Allen is here, but this time he's running for Congress. Sounds like a movie trailer.
This time it's personal.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. This time it's personal, and he's running for Congress. Graham Allen, how are you, buddy?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. It's been too long. I feel like... I thought we had gotten divorced for a little while.
No. But
it's good to be back. Congratulations on all the success of everything. You're doing great stuff. Oh, good job on Tucker, by the way.
There it is.
Thanks. I like Tucker. He's an interesting guy. Doesn't own television.
Somehow he doesn't own television?
No, he doesn't. Why?
Oh, I didn't know that.
He lives out in the middle of nowhere. He luckily he's reached a level of success at this point where he had his own studio built in Connecticut, and he just stays there away from everybody.
Smart.
Also, yeah. He has no choice, really, if you really think about it. I mean, Tucker Carlson just walking around in a mall somewhere probably wouldn't go over too well.
Not unless he was carrying a fucking gun.
Yeah, we it's a crazy story. Like, you laugh, but we had lunch with Ben Shapiro a couple years ago, and then he was on the show last week. Mm-hmm. And we sat down with him. He was gracious enough to give us like 4 hours of his time. He had it catered whiskey for us, the whole thing, and it was great. And we asked him the same question at lunch of like, hey, dude, how do you walk the streets in L.A.? His building was nondescript, and it was deep in the valley at that point. I can say where it is now because they're gone, but it was in Van Nuys. So you're in, like, porn territory there. So, one, you would never expect him to be there. Two, you had to go up, I think it was 8 or 9 flights, and then you still didn't know where you were. And then you got shuttled to the back room, and you're like, oh, all right, cool. And then he described having to walk around L.A. with a bodyguard and stuff going to Temple. And that it's real, man. And I know it's happened to you in the past. Are you still dealing with that now?
Every once in a while, the weirdest part is people staring at you, and you don't know if it's because they like you or if they secretly wish that you were dead. And so that's the hardest part. I almost wish that everybody that sees me would just say something, you know, oh, I love you, or oh, I hope you die, or just anything at all. And let's go ahead and get it out on the table. But you know, no, so far I spend a lot more time obviously here in South Carolina because of the race. You know, people are pretty cool around here. The southern states are really friendly to me and what I put out. You know, New York and California and stuff are different stories.
Yeah, because the other part about that is you don't want to assume that everybody knows you from something, right? They could just be staring at you because it's like, oh, there's an attractive man walking down the street with sleeve tats.
Yeah, but you also don't want to assume that people think you're attractive either, because that's
exactly. Well, it could be they just think I have a punchable face.
That's what I always assume. Like, the good thing about us is that before I started doing bigger shows like Tucker's and Tim Pool and shit, I knew people, if they recognized me, it was because of this show, which means they're probably going to say something. And usually I don't notice them recognizing me because they just yell weird shit across the airport, for example.
Yeah.
Like, wheelchair across the airport. I'm like, that can only be somebody who knows who I am.
Yes.
Because nobody else would be a big enough asshole to say something like that.
Yeah.
Now when I'm flying back and forth to places and people are looking at me, they're like, is that guy? Because the flight attendants on my flight home the other day were like, are you that guy from Black Rifle? I'm like, well, not really. But you made it, like, kind of, but not really.
Yeah, right? you kind of made that circle, and you know our friends and things like that.
But it's people are generally pretty friendly to me.
Now, Dan,
because I look like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody's going to come up and start talking shit in my face.
Very insurrectionist.
Yeah, if they do, it's going to be a big problem for them.
Yeah. Speaking of which, are you going to be a big problem for the guy you're up against down there in South Carolina? How is that shaping up right now?
Man, let me tell you guys the stories about everything. So obviously, you know, I've done the political commentary thing for years now. But stepping into this world of actually running for Congress, and I'm running for Congress in South Carolina, 7th congressional district against Tom Rice. And Tom Rice is one of the 10 impeachment voters who voted to impeach Donald Trump. He also voted for the January 6th commission. Mm-hmm. He also voted, against the resolution to not require mask for the House in DC, in the House chambers, etc. This guy is just completely not a Republican across the board, but it's neither here nor there. I would love to tell you guys, if you guys are interested, what it really is like running.
I have a guess, because Dan and I did it for school board for a little bit in North Carolina before COVID and all that stuff, and then once COVID hit, they made a generous offer for us to move here, and we did. What I can tell you is this, and you're on it to a bigger extent. It probably consumes every second of your day. You're probably on a phone call with someone, shaking hands, asking for money over and over and over again, and trying to tell people why you're better than the other guy. Meanwhile, that other guy is probably trashing the shit out of you publicly everywhere.
Yeah, well, to an extent, yes. And so, by the way, you know, if you want to contribute, you know, we are always accepting contributions.
Tell everybody where they can contribute.
Yeah, so Graham Allen SC, like South Carolina, GrahamAllenSC.com is the congressional website. If you believe that we the people are the power in this country, not the government, and you are wanting someone who is going to DC not wanting a job, going there to flip tables that need to be flipped, and you know, if they come after me with everything they got and I'm only there for 2 years, then so be it. You know, think about contributing to the campaign. Let me tell you the true story here for everybody listening. I don't know the exact demographics of your audience, but I would imagine that the vast majority of people, at least 70% probably, are in the ballpark of the same things that, you know, I believe, and that, you know, the hills that I believe are worth dying on. You know, the freedom to question and the freedom to choose. Those are my two American principles that I truly feel that those are hills worth dying on, right?
Yes.
The freedom to question authority, if you will, and then the freedom to choose. And by freedom to choose, I mean what you want to do, what you believe, what you feel, what guns you want to buy, what your children should be allowed or not allowed to have happen to them in school, et cetera. The biggest bombshell that I have that's just rocked me that I've had to get used to. Yeah, we get all these smear articles from the local little whatever article places that don't matter. 200 people read it and it's whatever. The biggest thing is, you know, for the past 4 years, I think it's safe to say, and please, if you guys disagree, let me know. I think it's safe to say that we have been one of the top 25 conservative voices in the country the past 25 years. I think we're in the top 25. I don't think we're top 10 or anything like that, but I think we make top 25 in that argument. The biggest shock has been, you know, Republicans have loved us for the past 4 years. You know, we've been one of the biggest bullhorns for the Republican Party, for, you know, conservative values, you know, less government, more people, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, they loved us until I dared step foot into their arena, this political arena, because I don't belong there to them. And by them, I'm talking about the GOP. That's who I'm talking about. The attacks have not been from the left. CNN has not said one freaking word about me getting into this race. Fox News, all these other people report, you know, we've smashed all the South Carolina fundraising records and all this stuff, but it's the GOP within the state that is coming after me with everything that they got. They hate the fact that someone like me is in this race, that they are livid, furious, saying things like, you know, I don't belong, I'm an outsider, you know, I don't look the part, even saying I have tattoos, saying that I haven't paid my dues. Yes, that's a real thing that they said, which is, you know, political, you know, jargon for he doesn't owe anybody anything yet, or we don't have anything on this guy. It has been truly disheartening to see that, as far as at least primaries go, that the right is exactly the same, if not worse, than the left. That has been the biggest thing that I've had to adjust to. And honestly, it's pissed me off so bad that it's made me take on the persona of, all right, if you want to call me the outsider and you want this and that, then that's what I'll be. I quit wearing blazers. When I go speak at these events, I show up just like this, you know, with tattoos showing in front of the, you know, the grannies and all this stuff, because this is who I am. One article said, Graham Allen has established himself as the front runner, and you guys will love this, but has angered local party leaders due to abrasive comments online, which I thought was hilarious, that we have leaders that, you know, words hurt their feelings. And this is who we're dealing with these days. These are the people that are supposed to represent the will of the people. They get their feelings hurt by, you know, people saying that they're stupid on the internet. And so we've really embraced that. And we're going to keep doing what we do. And right now we're kicking their butt. So we're just going to keep going with it.
Why is that? Let me ask you this, because I you look at it like you wanted a candidate who's exciting, who can get younger votes, things like that. Whereas how long is this guy you're running up against? How long has he been in there right now?
Since 2013.
So 2013, older guy, clearly flipped, you know, ended up being one of the 10, isn't a real conservative. You would think somebody would like someone like you, because you have a big platform. You are able to go out to a ton of people and get out the conservative message. Whereas this guy, no offense, if he didn't do the impeachment thing, you know, against Trump, I don't know that I know who he is.
Nobody does. I talk to, you know, just like you guys, I have many friends that are actually in Congress. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many people have said, I didn't even know who this guy was until he voted to impeach the president, which is mind-blowing, guys. There's only 435 people in Congress. I know that we're picking up some seats this midterm, but that's not a lot of people in the grand scheme of America.
Yeah.
If we're being honest, to be a representative, I don't even like the word congressman or congresswoman, to be a representative, you really are in an elite group of people, a small group. Elite's a wrong word too. You're in a really small class, right? In the grand scheme of the population. If people don't know who you are, what are you doing? And are you truly just skating by and just voting however you think the political climate is shifting at the time to make sure that you have a job later on? That's the problem with these people, is they don't give a crap about you. They don't give a crap about me. They care about their job. They care about their insider tradings. They care about finding out how to get rich 5-6 years down the road, as long as they continue to vote a certain way and don't make so many people upset, et cetera. It is pure political elite corruption is what it is on every level in every state. It doesn't matter how red you think your state is. They are just as corrupt as anybody else.
Why would they not be? Why would you believe that conservatism, modern neocon conservatism, is somehow better than liberalism? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no.
Why would it be?
I agree with you. And the, you know, one of the big problems that I'm seeing is, it's not the people. The people love us. We have just today, we've had over, we're fixing to top over 16,000 contributions already to the campaign. We are pulling like governor type donations as far as the amount of people go. People across the country are resonating with the fact of somewhere along the way, the American people allowed the government and we don't have elected representatives. We have rulers now. That's what we have. We have rulers. We have people that believe that they know what's best for us, and that they believe that their job is to protect us from ourselves. We have rulers now. That's where we are. People want to live with their head under a rock. That's just the truth. Somewhere along the way, we the people forgot that the governing power in this country is in the first three words of our founding documents, and that's we the people. Mayors, city councilmen, state senators, state representatives, congressmen, senators, governors, vice president, president, Supreme Court, they only have the power that they have because the people allow it to be so, and the people allow them that power and authority. Somewhere along the way, we forgot that. Everywhere I go and I speak to everybody, and the first questions I ask is, who wanted to shut down?
Right.
Crickets.
No.
Nobody. So I ask them, so why did we? You know, who wants masks on our children? Crickets. Nobody. So why are we allowing it? Who wanted Tom Rice? You know, I'm speaking my district specifically now. Who wanted Tom Rice to impeach Donald Trump? Crickets. Okay. So why did he? And why are we allowing him to still be in office right now? You see what I'm saying? Like, these are the things and these are the questions that I find. And it's because of this fear that we have allowed ourselves to become these weak-spined Americans that are just terrified. And, you see it just yesterday or last night in California. Larry Elder was defeated, if you believe the polls, handedly by Gavin Newsom. So one of two things. One, there's mass corruption again in the voting system, which people are already claiming, you know, that. Or two, people are so brainwashed and people are so just, California has been the worst state since the pandemic. These people have literally been pretty much in prison for the past 18 months.
Yeah.
And 5.9 million people voted to keep that. Well, crazy.
I was looking at the exit polls last night in particular, because, you know, early on, you could tell he was getting housed and this was going to be over pretty quickly, which I was surprised by. I thought it was going to be a lot closer, especially with the polls that Dan and I had seen previously in the last, 2 months. And the most interesting stat that I found was that 67% of them on those exit polls on the way out said they supported the mask mandates and the COVID restrictions. And I was like, shit. Well, you get the government you deserve then at that point. And if you're willing to answer that question, to me, that pretty much summed it up. And it was almost the identical number that Gavin Newsom got, from his side to not be recalled. So to me, you can look at those two numbers and be like, well, I guess that's the government you want to live under. But just stay there and then don't come to these other states. Like, stop coming to Texas. That'd be great.
Tim Pool put a tweet out showing the people that voted for Trump in November and the people that voted for Larry Elder. And so 6 million people voted for Trump. Only like 3.2 million voted for Larry Elder. Here's the simple fact. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, everybody left California. 3 million people didn't leave California. And also, you have to, I think it's been a couple hundred thousand. And out of that, honestly, the vast majority of them were probably Democrats that left, infiltrating Nevada, Arizona, Texas, et cetera. The simple truth is, Republicans or conservatives, however you want to call it, they didn't show up. It's as simple as that. We can beat around the bush all day. They didn't show up, and this is what happens. And so I said something that some people are probably going to find very controversial on the show today, and I'd love to get y'all's thoughts on this. I said, you know, we're fighting losing battles across the country. And what I mean by that is, here's the truth. Would I have loved Larry Elder to win the governorship of California? Of course. Did I think it was actually going to happen? No, I didn't. I didn't. I think it's a glorious stand that he made. I really do. Do I think he actually had a shot? No. I mean, freaking Gavin Newsom's got every freaking Hollywood elitist, everybody everywhere doing all this stuff for him. It was never going to happen. We're fighting battles that we're never going to win. California is gone. I'm sorry. It is. California is blue. It's going to be blue. There is not going to be a person that comes along that's going to flip California red. It's just not going to happen. We know for a fact, at minimum, we've got 6 million people that voted for Donald Trump in November of 2020. Why are those people still in California? Why are these people not moving to places that are actual swing states like Nevada, Arizona, keeping Texas red, keeping Florida red along the line? Why are these people staying in these horrible, tyrannical, dictator places? Oh, well, my family's been there our whole life. Who cares?
It's not because of that. It's because they don't believe in Republicans or conservatives, and they shouldn't actually believe in them because they're all full of shit. There's a reason that I continuously say that all politicians are cunts. When the last time the Republicans had the power that the Democrats have now, or that the Democrats had in the mid or early 2010s when they passed Obamacare, here's what they did. They started two wars for no fucking reason to make their buddies rich that a lot of our friends died in. And they presided over the largest expansion of the federal government in American history. And then they passed the Patriot Act. They used our fear and our anger from 9/11 to do it. These people are pieces of shit.
Yeah. And
period. People get motivated when they fucking believe in the leader, and they don't.
Yes.
That's it.
And then with Obama, he kept it going because it was like, oh, shit, we can just keep spying on people? Yeah, we need that data and that info. And I think, look, me in particular, Graham, that's why I voted for a guy like Trump, because he wasn't a politician. If I was in your district, this is why I would vote for a guy like you. Or if I was in California, I'd vote for somebody like Larry Elder just to see what would happen. Just to see somebody get in there and actually make a change without having to rely on a job, because that's what it feels like in politics. And that's why Dan is as passionate as this about the way he is because a lot of these people are treating this like, dude, I make 174 grand. I get a fat ass pension. I get to travel around. I get the info from all the greatest shit in the world. I know everything that is coming down the pipe for the next 15 years, and I can help myself. Versus, yes, just normal people who are like, you know what? I'm going to try to do good things for my community and have that carry over into Washington.
No, we got to get rid of this fucking entire, the entire institution of American politics is fucked, right? We have, people like to bring up the idea of term limits, and that's a good idea for Congress and the Senate, no question. But it is people like
the chief of staff that's in the White House right now, that's been in American politics for 35 years. People like that, that don't need to get elected to influence shit. They're just there all the time. Lobbyists, get rid of them. I think that when you swear into Congress or the Senate, you should, instead of just saying you're going to support and defend the Constitution, you should be put under oath, right? And be tried for fucking perjury every time you lie to the American people. Fuck these assholes. We have no other recourse. We have a recourse every 2 to 4 years, or six in the case of the Senate, to vote them out. That's too long. Things happen too quickly now to allow these assholes to be in charge of anything. They cannot be trusted. Anybody that goes seeking power almost always doesn't deserve it. Like, they're doing it not to help. They're doing it for them. You know what I mean? Maybe in the early days, people were fucking doing it because they wanted to help somehow, when they knew they were going to go be in American politics and then leave. George Washington could have been president for his entire life. He did 2 terms and he said, you know what? I'm done. Let somebody else do it now, because it was a civic duty. Now people get there. People go there now to make a name for themselves, to start their career. Right. Like, that's not a career. Being a politician is not a career any more than fucking being a criminal is a career.
Yeah. And like you were saying at the top of the show, how the GOP in your own state has turned against you. Because you don't look like them, you don't think like them, and you might not be able to help them. We don't know how long Graham's going to be in there. At the beginning of this, when I was seeing you go around, you know, the country and things like that, for fundraisers and everything else, you did have a suit and tie on. You were, you know, you were all in. Now you've completely changed. Is it because, like, your own party has turned against you? I mean, do you almost feel like you're personally fighting a losing battle? I know you were saying that about California, but do you feel like you're personally fighting one?
Well, that was like a three-pronged question. So first, what a lot of people don't realize is when you first say, okay, you know, I think I'm going to do this. And to be clear, it was not an easy decision. There were a lot of people who reached out to me about this, about running for Congress. And to be completely honest, and I tell this to everybody I talk to, I didn't want it. And it's not necessarily something that I do want. The second that I announced, Facebook cut us off. I mean, we've lost more money than, you know, I'm comfortable saying, even just running for Congress. There was only one pro for running, and that was maybe, just maybe, I have the opportunity to, potentially spark something that changes something for the America that my kids' kids are going to grow up in. At the end of the day, that's what made me decide to do it. For the past 4 years, I've been preaching, you know, we need new candidates. We need different people. We need real people, not politicians, not people that have been in the state rep for 10 years and now it's finally their turn and da 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 da. No, we need people that have literally, we need small business owners. We need less doctors and lawyers. No, we need small business owners that have literally tanked their credit because they had to pay for their employees until the business finally made enough profit to where they could start actually getting somewhere. We need people that actually understand what that means. The only pro of me running for Congress is maybe I spark something that changes everything else. To be perfectly clear, I think I'm going to win this race. I do. Guys, you know me. I don't do something unless I think, you know, I'm going to be good at it. Yeah. Or, you know, I mean, that's just how I am. I think I'm going to win this race. Do I think that I'm going to go to Congress and I'm going to change Congress? No, only an idiot would think that, because that is not possible. What is possible, and what I believe is the only way that we have a chance to fix what has happened to us, is people that just want to go to return it back to what you were talking about, Dan, a civic duty. This is a deployment for me. That is exactly how I'm viewing it. This is, if I get elected to Congress and I go to DC for 2 years, it's a deployment. It's a war zone. I am going there for a very specific mission, and that is to be the voice of the people of the district that I represent. Whether that means that I piss off every single higher up Republican that there is along the way, so be it. But hopefully what that does is that inspires other people like me, a high school graduate from the middle of freaking nowhere that joined the military, went to Iraq a couple times, randomly started talking to him on his phone, turned it into 4 different businesses, now has employees, made it all the way up to DC. I believe that the American people need to see that that is still possible. That it is possible for someone who is the complete opposite of this make-believe little thing that we've made, that you've got to look this way, sound this way, have this much money, have this kind of a degree, et cetera, to be, you know, in Congress. Americans need to believe. Dan, you said it best. They don't believe it right now. You're right. They don't. And I do see that when I talk to people. They don't want politicians, but the GOP wants politicians because that's who they know, and that's who they know that they can have control over. So the reason they've turned on me is because there are systems in place in every election, Democrat or Republican, to keep the everyday American from not being able to make it to qualifications and make it on the ballots. Period. The end. There's a system in place in every state, in every GOP, local GOP, to keep the everyday man or woman from ending up on the ballot. And that's through fundraising. Unfortunately, fundraising is key in these things. If you can't fundraise, guess what? You don't make it on the ballot at the end of, you know, when it comes time for primaries and qualification. You just don't. Do I believe that needs to change? Absolutely. I believe it needs to change. Should you have to raise millions of dollars for a job that pays $174? No, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever, but that's the way it's designed. What happens is when you have people that are going against Republicans, because you got somebody like Tom Rice who has turned his back on his constituents. It doesn't matter if you liked Donald Trump or not. It doesn't matter if Tom Rice liked Donald Trump or not. It doesn't matter if Tom Rice truly believes that Donald Trump shot Ashley Babbitt himself. It doesn't matter. What matters is what his constituents and the people in his district wanted him to do. That is his job. Just like when we wore the uniform, you lose certain privileges when you wear the uniform of America. There are certain things that you cannot do anymore. You can't say certain things. You can't do anything. Certain things in the uniform. I believe it's very much the same way with a representative. When you take on that mantle, you take on that role, it no longer matters what you think in certain situations. Do you have a moral compass that you have to live by? Absolutely. It matters what the people in your district think. That's what it matters. If Tom Rice had voted to impeach Donald Trump and then came out and said, I had to impeach him because he crossed a line for me that I couldn't tolerate, and because of that, I realized that it has separated me from the people of my district, so therefore I'm vacating my seat, I actually would have had respect for that. I wouldn't have agreed with it, but I actually would have respected that in that regard. But no, Tom Rice is a politician that believes that we're too stupid to do anything about it. He thought that we were going to forget. He thought that it's not going to matter. He thinks that he can do whatever he wants, and he's still going to end up right back there in Congress because that's his job, and he's worried about his job. All of these people are worried about their job, and it should be a duty, not a job. And duties don't last for forever. There is an end date to your service, and that's what we need to reestablish back in America. So do I believe I'm fighting a losing battle? Maybe. But if I don't fight, I'm a hypocrite.
Well, there's a lot of ways to fight. I mean, if there's a runaway wood chipper, jumping into it isn't exactly fighting it, is it? I mean, I guess in a way it is if you're trying to go in there and stop the blades, but that's not a very reasonable thing to do. I honestly have, it's not even doubts. I know for a fact there's nothing that's going to change in the American political system. This is not going to happen. There's too much money and power and influence there. Look at what we're seeing right now. It's not even just the politicians and the administration currently. It is our Pentagon, which is clearly compromised, right?
Clearly.
This Milley guy has been so pumped full of bullshit that he thought it was okay to go to a foreign general in a country that we're in a massive trade war with, that we're still in a Cold War with, and then in some scenarios we're having hot conflicts with,
and tell them, hey, if we're going to attack you, we're going to warn you in advance. That's being allowed right now. This man should be arrested immediately, right? And that case should be investigated. In the State Department, we have a guy saying it doesn't matter, right? He's parroting Hillary Clinton again. There's no fucking chance that anybody joining the American political system if Donald Trump couldn't do it. And what you're describing right now is Trumpism. They weren't afraid of him because he wanted secure borders, because fucking Obama deported more people than every president before him combined. It's not about that. It's about not being establishment, and you're not part of the fucking club, and you're not going to be. It's just not going to happen.
But I'm with you, though. I think you still have to try. You can't just
There's a lot of ways to try.
Unfortunately, our political system is set up like that. There isn't a way around it, and it's not going to go away anytime soon.
I disagree with you there. There's a lot of stuff we can do. One is that we can all stop paying taxes, right? They cannot come for everybody. Take your money out of banks, put them in credit unions that the federal government can't touch, and stop paying taxes. Number two is that truck drivers probably have the most power of any specific group of people in this country right now.
That's true.
If truck drivers said right now, you know what? We're not delivering another goddamn package, not one package, until somebody fucking does something, until there's congressional term limits, until whatever, right? Until these fucking weird mandates go away, until Milley is arrested and at least investigated for the possibility of treason. If he said those words to a foreign general, he's at very least committed a violation of the Logan Act. But it seems like if he said those exact words, that is treason. And this man's still the head of the fucking, he's the second in charge of our military right now, after the president. They have immense power. Those are things you can do.
Graham, you've got a podcast. You know, we got some sponsors who put this shit wagon on the air. First and foremost is GhostBed.com/drinking bros. The IT guy is actually dead. My condolences to him and his family, but he is no longer with us. So, therefore, I don't know when they're going to take down the 40% bundle package Labor Day sale. Maybe the next Labor Day. I don't know. But he did pass away peacefully. He was kite surfing with his friends and his grandmother. Grandmother survived, ironically. But he did not over at GhostBed. So, we're sending out well wishes to his family, thoughts, and prayers. However, that means you can get in on these savings. All you have to do, get an adjustable base mattress. Boom. Bundle it together. That's what the bundle package is. You can put some pillows in there, some sheets. Do whatever you want and bundle it up. You get 40% off. Or with the promo code Drinking Bros at checkout, you can get 30% off everything in the entire store at GhostBed.com/Drinking Bros. And I believe they've still got the two free pillows with a mattress. Check on that at GhostBed.com/Drinking Bros. Where, as always, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest there if you have decent credits. And all the deals that I just mentioned can be used with that. So take advantage of it. It'll knock it down to like $35-$38 a month. Go to GhostBed.com/Drinking Bros today. Next up, we've got GetRoman.com/Drinking Bros. Go there now. You get $15 off your first month there. We're talking about ED treatment. Look, if you bought the mattress and you're going to be spending a lot of time in the bedroom with your lady or your man, make sure you can get it up down there. When things break around the house, you take care of it. However, when something's off in the bedroom, you try not to think about it. Come on, man. What are you waiting for? Take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/Drinking Bros now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan available. Medication is appropriate. It ships to you for free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/Drinking Bros and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/Drinking Bros now. You'll get $15 off your first month. It's really time to take care of your ED. And remember, getting started today, that'll save you $15 on your first order of ED treatment at GetRoman.com/Drinking Bros. Last but not least, D'Anthony, we got Babbel in the house. Are you still? I think you and Dakota are still on Babbel, on American Party, right?
Yeah, I've been using it to learn Mandarin because China's going to own our country soon.
It's true. A lot, you know, a lot of people are.
Yeah,
That's well, one of the most popular languages. Cena, yeah. But that's one of the most popular languages to learn is Mandarin and Spanish.
It is actually a good language to learn. I mean, not just because forget about all the political shit, but it's the two most used country our languages on earth.
Mm-hmm.
English is used mostly, and Asian business primarily uses English, including China and Japan. But China's population is massive.
Yeah,
right. So it's not a bad one to learn. Just so you're literate.
Yeah. Over a billion people.
Yeah.
Go to Babbel.com. Use the promo code Drinking Bros. Right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months free. It's 6 months for the price of 3. The beauty of this is, it's not like those old school apps and things where you're sitting there trying to learn sentences and paragraphs that you'll never use. These are quick and simple phrases too that'll help you. Like, let's say you're going on vacation to France. My wife wants to go there. She'll never get to go because I refuse to take her there. But you can ask for your waitress or how to get a cab. Where's my hotel? Things like that. Common phrases that will come up in daily conversation versus things that you'll never use. Like the donde está la biblioteca? Okay.
Yeah,
that's nobody's
like really these 100 language experts designed this program, mm-hmm. right? If you're looking for people that actually know how to teach language, you'll use this. It's not some AI generated nonsense. It's actual stuff. They also have a bunch of other features like games you can play, podcasts you can listen to. There's like chat rooms where you can talk to other natural language speakers. So you can figure it out. They have the voice recognition, so you can get your pronunciations right, and you don't sound like Ross all the time. There's all sorts of good stuff going on there.
Damn right. No one wants to sound like Ross. Babbel's 15-minute lessons make it the perfect way to learn a new language on the go. Start your language learning journey today with Babbel. Right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months for free. That's 6 months for the price of 3. Just go to Babbel.com. Use the promo code Drinking Bros. That's Babbel, Babbel.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. That'll get you the 3 months for free. Babbel, language for life. But you can't get that many people to do the same thing at the same time and expecting that or even hoping for that.
Why? They just got fucking 70% of California to agree that fucking getting locked down and have their businesses shut down is okay. You're saying they can do it, but you can't.
No. Look, there was 30% that were still against it, right? You still got to get people, 100% of the people, to be on board with this and agree at the same time. And I don't think we're there as a country. And I'm going to say something controversial. I just think there's a lot of dumb fucking people out there. There is.
Oh. Well, that's not really a controversial thing.
But there's just a lot of dumb fucking people who want dumb shit for dumb reasons that we will never, ever be able to understand. And for that reason, you're not going to get everybody to do one thing at the same time. You're just not. Even the fucking eclipse that happened, 5-6 years ago, whatever it was, don't look at the sun. There were still dummies out there just gazing right at that motherfucker. Like, I just don't think it's going to happen. Therefore, I think you have to go this route and at least try. And if not, I mean, look, let's say, Graham, you get in there and you're in there for 2 years and you get voted out. Everybody fucking hates you and they're out of there. I'd still like to know what it's actually like in there, where you come back and you're just like, hey, dude, here's what's really going on in there. And then tell those stories and share those stories, because I haven't heard those.
Well, and maybe this is the thing that equips me to be a better instrument to change something after Congress. You know, I mean, you know, how do you truly know what's going on unless you're in there? I will say this, you know, Dan, and you said this earlier when I was talking about, you know, why are all these people still living in these states that are lost causes? Mm-hmm. Washington State, lost cause. Oregon, dear God, lost cause. California, it's a lost cause. We're never going to get those states back. We're just not. This is not Ronald Reagan in the 80s. We're never going to get those back. Democrats and Republicans aren't arguing between the difference of raising taxes 12% or raising taxes 17%. That's not reality anymore. We have two distinct groups of people, corrupt, both of them on a deep level, yes, but at least on principle, to the American people anyway, the American people realize that we have two distinct categories of Americans right now. We've got the Americans that just want to be left alone and have America be the way it's supposed to be. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, leave me alone, less government, e pluribus unum, out of many, one. We all agree under one example that we are Americans. At the end of the day, that's it. We don't have to like each other, but we're Americans. And then you've got a group of people that fundamentally believe that America needs to change in every single aspect and become Canada 2.0. That's it. I mean, we are so far divided. So again, I go back to, why are these people still in these states? Why won't they move? Well, you said it, Dan. You said, well, they have nothing to believe in. They have nobody to believe in right now, and they feel defeated, right? I don't know. I feel like, at least me personally, I feel like, to me, if I didn't do this, if I didn't try, you know, look at every major Republican elected official right now. They gained their status and they gained their influence after they got elected. I am the exact opposite of that. I got to where I am today just from being who I am and speaking how I speak and all this. And in my mind, and after I prayed about it and I thought about it, if I don't try, to me, I would be being a hypocrite to everything that I've said over the past 4 years. And to your point way back, you know, several minutes ago, Ross, you know, at the beginning, you know, people were like, hey, you need to wear a suit. How do you feel about shaving your beard? You know, all this other kind. I mean, they literally try to make you look and sound certain ways. And I was like, I'm not shaving my beard. That's never happening. And, you know, I'll wear a blazer. And then, you know, they started coming after me saying, you know, this guy's tattooed. He looks this way, da, 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 da. You know, he can't be a congressman. And I was like, you know what? Screw it, man. I'm just going to, this is who I am. And people are either going to vote for that because they feel the way I feel and they think the way I think, or they're not. And I'm not going to play these political hoop games where I jump through this and kiss this ring and do that and do this. I could care less, because I don't need South Carolina politics, because I have the ability to bypass that nationally. Right.
Right.
So this is who I am. This is what I stand for. I'm not even 100% sure. Yeah, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to do what I've always done. I'm going to say things how I see it. People are either going to agree with it or they're not. And I, you know, that's it. That's my intention. I do know this. There's not a single person running for Congress in these midterms that has lost more than I have to run in this race. That I do know.
Yeah. So let's get into that, because a lot of people don't understand, when you start running, you're not allowed to take money from like Facebook for monetizing your videos, Instagram. I believe merchandise as well, like clothing and stuff like that. You can't make money off of that, like selling it off of your personal Facebook page and anything like that.
Well, because 912 United is its own separate company and it's not Graham Allen merchandise, it is different. So we are able to still make money through the apparel company. But yeah, so all monetizations got cut off. We've had multiple sponsors that backed away because now we are, in fact, a political candidate. You know, not able to fill those slots because there's a lot of people that just don't want to be involved with it. And, you know, yeah, I mean, from a standpoint of having a media company that employs people, you know, videographers, editors, et cetera. I mean, yeah, it's a big hit. I mean, those people are still here with me just paying them out of my pocket to keep them here. So they still have jobs during all this stuff. Congress is a pay cut and I don't say that as a bragging thing. I say that as I'm here standing in this arena to take these arrows, because I do believe that America is worth fighting for. You know, I am a Christian, and, you know, we've talked about this a lot. if you believe the Bible, America falls no matter what we do, right? So in the end, it all doesn't matter anyway. But I truly believe that in the end, you're judged twice. One, did you know the Lord? Yes or no? And then two, what did you do with the life that he gave you? Right? Like that, that's what I live my life by. And I just, I can't sit by and all I do is talk. And so if this is my version of putting my money where my mouth is and running because I believe that I can represent people because I don't have any inclinations of what I think is best for other people, then that's what I'm going to try to do. And if it's nothing more than to just further expose this system that is so broken and tainted and corrupt and evil, then in my opinion, it's worth it to try it. And so that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. And we got somebody in the chat here saying, if AOC can do it, then everybody's got a chance. And I believe that's true. And like,
she meant selling merchandise though. Like you can sell merchandise to that goes into your war chest.
Oh, gotcha.
But you can have a campaign store, yeah.
That's well, different. I'll take it from the other meeting in case it was that, just in case. Username Yo Mama, which I'm a big fan of. 3 exclamation marks on that. I don't believe in anything she believes in at all, whatsoever. But she has her own set of beliefs. She ran. She's in Congress trying to influence people to think the way that she thinks. Again, I don't agree with any of her fucking bullshit whatsoever. But that's clearly what she believed in. She wanted to be there, and she has her own beliefs the same way that you do. She made it in there and is trying to do the things that clearly she believes in right now. So I
actually disagree with you. I think she's a shill. I think that she's a puppet of the DNC. Look at how quickly she and Bernie shut the fuck up when told to. Right? If AOC actually believed, what do you mean when? Do you hear her right now?
She was out last night. I mean, she was at the...
What do you mean out? She wasn't out. She was wearing a fucking stupid, fucking tax the rich. The Democratic Party fucks over poor people, maybe more than anybody, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is how it's happened over the last, like, 40 to 60 years. And if you can go back before that, and it's Jim Crow, right? So this is what the Democratic Party cycle is. Let's do something super fucked up and then accuse the other person of doing what we just did. Like, we don't do that anymore. That's you guys now. You're the party of Jim Crow. Like, well, no, it's you that did that, right?
Right.
So you're fucking gaslighting me now. This woman, if she truly believed the shit she believes, would be on television every single day calling out the members of her own party. But does she? No. Every now and again, she'll be like, I don't agree with that. I want the Green New Deal. I want this. But every single time, it gets shut down. And what's Bernie do when he gets lit up by fucking Hillary Clinton and the entire DNC? Like, well, I didn't like that, but oh well. And goes away and then supports her in the fucking election. Are you kidding me? These people are full of fucking shit.
What do you think her end game is?
I think her end game is money and power and fame, just like everybody else.
I'm going to go a slightly third option of what I think about AOC. AOC, I think she is a idiot that learns very quickly. That's what I think. I think she's an idiot that learns very quickly. I do agree that one day AOC will be a very rich woman, but here's why AOC is the most dangerous person in the Democratic Party or in the Democrat Party to America. She was voted the least effective member of Congress. Everybody just bypasses that, but she was actually voted as she accomplished the least amount of stuff out of every congressman or woman in there, which is saying a lot. She accomplished the least. However, her national presence and her national profile is the large. She is, outside of Donald Trump, she is the most known political figure worldwide, and the end. I mean
she is in the United States, you mean, right?
In the United States, yes, excuse me, in the United States. Well, actually, I don't know, there's probably a lot of people worldwide that know who AOC is. Either way, she is so dangerous because of what I was talking about earlier. Sometimes it's more going back my route of what my purpose is. I believe we need more than just fighters, because everybody says they're a fighter. Ooh, I'm a fighter. And we need more than just votes, because everybody's got a vote. We need people that actually have the ability to speak and resonate in such a way to where more than just three or four people hear them and nobody has any clue who they are. AOC affects elections. She does. She affects elections because she is poisoning the minds of the youth with her democratic socialist crap every single day. She affects elections more than Joe Biden does. She affects elections more than Kamala Harris does. She has the voice that all of these young people, millennials are the majority voters now, by the way. We don't have that anymore. They removed the biggest mouthpiece that we have. And so I believe that we need a legitimate army of Republican candidates, conservative candidates, however you want to call them, America First candidates, whatever makes you feel better about how you want to define it. We need an army of people that are that are saying the same things. The Democrats, as crazy as the stuff is that comes out of their mouth, they are united in the craziness. And they all will spit the same rhetoric, just like you said, Dan, that they fall in line with what the powers that be want them to do. And that's why they're kicking our butt.
Well, it's more, I think the, I've seen the, what is that noise? You hear that?
Yeah. It's a little static in there. Hot Bob, you got that?
The data or whatever it is, the study that shows she's the least effective member of Congress, that is a red herring, right? Part of it is what you said, that she still has a lot of influence nationally, but it depends on how you define success as a Congress member. Did she get a bunch of bills passed, or did she author or co-author a bunch of bills? The answer is no.
That was what they were reporting.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is that, who gives a fuck about that? Here's the question I would ask. Is our entire education system infiltrated by 1619 critical race theory bullshit? Are we having is our entire Pentagon infiltrated with the same thing? The answer to both those questions is yes. Do we have 11 million open jobs right now because people at the younger age feel like they don't need to go back to work, that the government owes them a living? The answer is yes. So she's been more successful than any politician recently, other than maybe Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that is an absolute red herring that she's not major success.
We're saying the same thing. We're just saying it different ways. I agree with you 100%, but we're saying the same thing. Nationally, she is more influential than anybody else on the Democrat Party. Right. That's what I'm saying. That, yeah. So I agree with you there. Yeah.
You're talking about how you want to get involved in the political process and make a dent, and there's nothing particularly wrong with that, I would say. I don't think it's going to necessarily be effective. I mean, if Donald Trump couldn't do it, if there were 400 or 500 people running at the same time, like you alluded to, I've been saying that for years. And it doesn't necessarily have to be conservative or liberal people. It just needs to be people who care about what this fucking country is, which is liberty, period. Liberty, period. Hard stop. The end, right? Otherwise, that shit's never going to turn over. I wonder at what point. Like, I understand fighting, but fighting can mean a lot of different things. And Why are people so romantic about the idea that the United States has to be 50 states? Because in our parents' lifetime, every single one of our parents' lifetime, it was 48. Mm-hmm. And we added two, right? I feel like maybe it's time to get rid of a couple. You know what I mean? In any other circumstance, even if it was cancer on your fucking body, you would cut that off. But if you were running a business and a couple of your divisions were failing abjectly, you would kill that fucking business. You would get rid of it. And America is a fucking business, and that business is goddamn providing liberty and safety and security to its people. And they are failing abjectly, and it's not because of the people, right? It's because of the political class in America. Now, we started this country with the express intent of avoiding aristocracy, and now we have aristocracy. The political class runs this country, and it's not just the people that run for power. When I say political class, I mean the military-industrial complex. I mean these large donors, the Koch brothers, fucking even Soros, who's not even a fucking American, put $1 million into Gavin Newsom's recall. He's not even hiding it anymore.
Right.
He openly funded 275 district attorney and judge races over the last 5 years, not even hiding it anymore. So if you think you're going to outspend or outinfluence the people like the Koch brothers, or people like George Soros, that's not going to happen. So I'm not saying don't fight. What I'm saying is, how do we fight in a way that's actually going to be effective?
Yeah, and with you, now that you're in the thick of it, because you're really in this fucking thing.
Yeah, you're seeing it from your own side. That's the thing that I love, not love. That's the thing that I hear most from people that venture into politics is, I can't believe how much hate I got from my own side. It's because we defined the sides incorrectly. The sides aren't right versus left. It's power versus fucking not power. That's it. Yeah.
It's the people versus the government is what it is. I think that we need, and maybe this is, maybe I'm naive. I don't know. I believe that we need emotion back in what we do. I think one of the biggest issues that we have in politics right now is we have people playing politics. And, you know, we don't have people who legitimately just have emotion of belief. I would kill to have a real doctor come out right now and just say, hey, you really want to help the COVID-19 death rate? Stop being fat. You know what I mean? Just to have one person. And I got into a discussion with a member of Congress, and because it was a private conversation, I won't say who it was. And they disagree with me on, you know, I said, man, you know, we need people to get upset about what's going on, and the American people need to see that our representatives are upset. And they responded with, you know, emotion never gets us anywhere. It leads to virtue signaling, and it leads to this, and it leads to hysteria, and it never gets anywhere. And I said, well, I completely disagree with that 100%. I said, emotion gets us everywhere. People don't fall in line behind ideals immediately. They have to have an emotion attached to that. They have to have someone that sparks something for them to latch on to something to fight for. And I do. I believe that we need more people to actually show emotion, because emotion shows you care. Emotion shows that you're a human being. And we have people that look at the government right now as a bunch of ruling class robots that are walking around that could not care either way if we live or die, if we eat or starve, if we have medical care, if we don't have medical care. They don't care. There's no emotion, there's no real thing behind anything that we do in the government. And I do, I believe somebody came up to me at an event I was speaking at, and they said, you know what we want? I said, what's that? They said, we just want people with tattoos. Somebody that looks like us, somebody that sounds like us, somebody that just speaks the way that we speak. 90% of America has no clue what these politicians are even talking about, because they talk over their heads so much. They have no idea. You get these intellectuals in Congress that inevitably believe that they're smarter than the American people. Well, you know, you can't tell the American people everything, because if you tell the American people everything, there'll be mass hysteria in the streets. Well, maybe there needs to be. Why can't you tell the American people everything? Why? You know, that right there is a very dangerous, slippery slope.
And what other avenue of any kind do you limit the amount of data you give someone that's making a decision that affects everyone? Right? You wouldn't do that to an engineer or a mathematician. You wouldn't do it to a social scientist. You wouldn't do it to anybody. Mm-mm. But that is routinely what politicians do. And I'll tell you why they do it. It's the same reason that fucking governments throughout history have tried to keep the middle and lower class illiterate. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we take this for granted, but it is a relatively new phenomenon that people who work with metal or on production lines or farm even know how to fucking read. That was not the case for the most part. And now it is the case. And that's only the thing you said about the fat thing. About 20% of the people that die in America every year die in some obesity related condition, right? From heart disease or diabetes or something like that. Mm-hmm. 20%.
Yeah.
Right. About 3 million last year alone. Now they tell us that, 650,000 people died from COVID. What they mean is with COVID. Very nuanced but important distinction. Imagine doctors, because you're hearing doctors and nurses now say that they're not going to treat people who are unvaccinated. Imagine telling someone who has heart disease or diabetes that you're not going to treat them because they spent their whole life eating fucking food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you made yourself fat. Why? And that's operating under the presumption that unvaccinated people are even more dangerous, like completely taking the natural immunity part out of it. Right.
Right.
Even if they were correct about that, that is still, there's only one rule in medicine. What is it? Anybody? Does anybody know what the first rule of medicine is?
Believe the science is what they tell me on TV,
Dan. Do no harm. Do no harm. It's the only thing you sign. Your oath as a fucking physician or as a nurse or anybody that works in the medical field is do no harm.
Now it's believe the science, Dan. That's the one there.
Well, we've talked about
it.
We've talked to other scientists about this and what it means when you say believe the science. What they mean is believe our science.
Yes.
And it's the same thing they said to Copernicus. It's the same thing they said to Galileo. The same thing they said to all these guys throughout history that the Catholic Church and others fucking buried. You know what I mean? Fuck these people. And it's we've gotten to a point now where we're going to have to make a decision about how we fight this shit. You know what I mean? Are we going to fight it in some kind of way that brings people who think the same into a different area? Because I think if you look at the world population over time, there's never, ever been a citizenry this large that was governed by anything other than an autocratic government, right? Like India, they're technically democratic, but look at their elections and look at how far the divide is between the majority candidate and the minority candidate. Like, I mean, shit, fucking Iraq had elections. No. Saddam Hussein won 98% of the vote. You think that's even possible? 98%. I mean, if they had made it like 65-35, I would have been like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
98-2. No fucking way. No fucking way. China, autocratic. Indonesia, autocratic. Pakistan, Brazil, Nigeria, Bangladesh, Russia. We're the only ones that have democracy at this size, and I think it's untenable. We're trying to put a square peg in a round hole, right? People just need to, like you said, if you're conservative minded, move to a swing state.
Yeah.
Because you'll be able to affect policy like that. Don't move to Texas. We don't need it.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter how many fucking liberals move here. It's not turning blue. I just don't believe that. I've seen people have been talking about that shit since 2002. It's just a Republican talking point. It's never going to happen. If you want to be effective, that's what you do. I just don't think you can govern this many people.
Well, anymore, because I think there's too much information. Me personally, with social media and everything else that's thrown in your face, it's really, really tough, because you can sway somebody with just a 15-second video, and we never had that before. On your side of it, have you met younger guys or people that are running in 2022 like yourself that are passionate? And if so, who are they? Because, you know, you have a huge platform. I know who you are, and I know that you're running. Who are these other people that you've met along the way that you're like, all right, great. I get along with them. We share the same ideals, and I think they would do great things in the world.
Well, people that are running that I actually have like a real personal relationship with, nobody. People that are running that I know of and we've spoken before that appear to have very similar ideals. You know, Sean Parnell's running for the Senate in Pennsylvania. You got Joe Kent out there in Washington. Whether he wins or not, I don't know. You know, I haven't looked at the specifics. I use this fighting losing battles. I do. I think that there are a lot of people that are starting to push that narrative of who's allowed to run for these positions, right? Unfortunately, look at Lauren Boebert, for example. So she won in Colorado. So what do you do in a Democratic run state every 10 years? Every 10 years you get redistricting, right? Mm-hmm. So what they're trying to do to Lauren Boebert right now, she's a big pain in their side in Colorado. They're trying to redraw the lines to put her district into a primarily blue district, to now she's going to have to run against an incumbent in a primarily blue county now. That's how you get rid of Lauren Boebert right there. So, I think that, and I know that this person is under a lot of scrutiny, but look at Kim Klasick back in 2020 mm-hmm. up in Baltimore or whatever it was. She raised, I think it was like $9 million. And I know a lot of stuff has come out and her and Candace Owens are going to court with each other now and all this other kind of stuff. But either way, the reality of the truth is this. She raised a crap ton of money in a district that she was never going to win. There was no chance she was going to win, period, ever, in any circumstances, unless God himself came down and said, you will win this race. She was never going to win. So first thing is, I mean, we really have to look at, Dan, like you said, Republicans or conservatives or however you want to call it. You know, you can't even call people Republican now without, no, I'm a conservative. Oh, well, excuse me, I apologize. You need to move to areas that you can actually affect change. If you're going to run, you need to run in areas that you actually have a freaking shot to win in the first place, because you're going to go up against the system no matter what. If you are not a politician, if you are not a politician's son or daughter, or you haven't been a state rep for 10, 12, 16 years, and now it's your turn, you're going to go up against the system. So you might as well go up against the system in an area where you actually have a shot, because what's happening is now you have people, because you're right, running is a begging for money game. And I freaking hate it. I hate it with every fiber of my being, asking people for money. I can't stand it. But I also believe that it is important that these multimillionaires should not be allowed to be able to fund their campaigns with millions of their own money that means nothing to them. And then they end up on the ballot, and then you have another ruling class individual that's now your representative. So, you know, it's kind of a catch 22 there.
Yeah.
We need people that are going in districts that they actually have a chance to win and make a difference in, because you're going to go up against the system, the establishment, whatever you want to call it. It will come after you. And you might as well do it in an area that you're willing to do it, that you have a shot in. And so all these people who are staying in place, all these people who are not leaving these communist dictatorship states because your families live there, your daughters grew up there, and blah, blah, blah. Who cares? In my opinion, you're being a cowardice, horrible parent in my regard. If you're staying in a place where you know that your values that you want your children to grow up in are not being done there, and you are willingly keeping your children there because it's all you've known, I think it's cowardice, to be honest.
Well, we'll see what happens. You know, we're on your side. You can go to GrahamAllenSC.com to donate to the campaign. This is the point in the show we get to the drinking bro of the week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Now, obviously, you've been on the show numerous times here, and you've given away drinking bros. Who is someone who has helped you on this campaign the most?
Who on the campaign?
Your wife's had to gone through hell, I would imagine.
Yeah, Alyssa's been a rock, man. She really has. You know, not very many women would be okay with leaving the military and doing this crazy. You know, I think I can make money making videos. And then, you know, it's like, hey, I got an idea. Let's move to Texas. And it's like, hey, I got an idea. Let's move to South Carolina. She's been a rock, man. And so Alyssa believes in me. And so she's been a huge person there. But I would be absolutely remiss if I didn't mention my grandfather, who raised me, who just passed away not too long ago. He is 100% what you see in me and what you hear in me and how I talk and how I think. And that's 100% him. And so, you know, my grandfather, even though he's not here, he is here. And, you know, so that's what keeps me going, man.
Cheers. Cheers. Well, look, I appreciate you fighting the good fight. We'll see what happens. Looking forward to when's your primary? March, probably next year?
June.
Oh, it's in June. Okay. Yeah, June of next year. And we'll be keeping an eye on that. You're always welcome to come back here anytime you want and chat about it, because as you go along this process, you're going to get to see more and more behind the curtain, and you're going to have access to things that we don't. So it'll be cool for the audience to hear. Tell everybody where they can find you and help out your campaign.
Yeah. Again, if you like what you hear, you don't have to be in the state to help contribute to what we're trying to do. You can Google me, Graham Allen, or go to GrahamAllenSC.com and help us hopefully make a change in this thing.
Thanks for being here today, Graham. Great conversation. For D'Anthony Holloway, Graham Allen, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone.